and you are listening to the Tales of Teaching, episode 20. And in this episode, I'm covering all things for going back to school on distance learning. I hope you guys enjoy this episode. Welcome to the Tales of Teaching podcast, a place where I hope you can find inspiration, creativity, and most importantly, someone to relate to. Teaching can be tough, as I'm sure you know, so I'm hoping this can be a space where we can motivate one another to take teaching to a whole new level. Hello, you guys. Back at it again. I just felt like this was such an important topic, and I wanted to try and get this out as soon as I wrapped my brain around it, because I know there's so many people that probably are going back to school before I am. We typically go back to school August 12th. That's the when we would, and we just kind of voted a few weeks ago to push it back to August 24th. And then we had the news that we were doing a digital start, so now everyone's just been kind of trying to rush around trying to learn a new website. We're using Canvas, we're trying to think of digital lessons, and just kind of wrap our brains around how we're going to start the year off without already knowing our kids. I've talked to a lot of educators, and we keep talking about how just how March was so different because we already knew our kids. I already knew what my class was like. I had a good understanding of what kids I needed to push and which kids would push themselves. And if I didn't hear from somebody, to be worried. And so I'm struggling a bit, I guess you could say, of not going to know these kids at all. And it's a little scary. And I'm sure some of you guys are maybe feeling the same thing. So I really wanted to share kind of my plan for the first week of school, at least, on how I plan to, I guess, train my kids and get to know all of them. Okay, so obviously the most important part to me is getting to know the kids, having them get to know me, create a classroom community, and I guess train them on the tools that we're going to be needing to make them successful for distance learning. So all my lessons are going to be centered around that. So just kind of keep those three things in mind. So the way our schedule is, I'm going to go ahead and explain our schedule really quickly so you can get a full understanding of why I'm doing things the way that I am. So Monday, Tuesday, Thursday, and Friday, we are teaching from 8 o'clock to 12:05. I'm going to go ahead and explain that from 8 to 8:25 is supposed to be a morning meeting. 8:25 to 9:25 is considered instructional block number one. We have to do a brain break from 9:25 to 9:45, so that could be something like a Go Noodle. I'm thinking this might be also a time that I might allow them to like take a break and go to the bathroom, treat it like our snack time, where they can grab a snack, listen to a read aloud. I was going to post a recording of a read aloud or YouTube to a read aloud, just to kind of give them a brain break from what we're doing. Then from 9:45 to 10:15, they're kind of splitting this instructional block up because we have to do PE and music. So that's from 9:45 to 10:15. Then for fifth grade, our kids go to music from 10:15 to 10:45. And that basically just means they're going to meet online with their PE teacher or music teacher, depending on what day of the week it is. Then I'm going to go ahead and finish off block 2B with 10:45 to 11:15. Instructional block 3 is then from 11:15 to 12:05. The kids have lunch from 12:05 to 1:05. And then after that time is office hours and teacher prep time until 2:45. So that's my day. Wednesdays, we're not allowed to meet with the kids virtually at all. They want that to kind of just be a break from the computer kind of day. What our school is putting together is what's called Wellness Wednesday, to kind of work on mental health and social and emotional learning. So they'll have some Wellness Wednesday things to work on. It's also a time that I can meet individually with students if I wanted to. If I saw a student was behind, I could meet with them one-on-one. And I was just also going to kind of treat it as a catch-up day or an enrichment day. So if they're finished with everything, they can listen to a podcast or choose one of the many things I'm going to have for them to do to kind of enrich themselves on the skills that we've covered that week, I guess you could say. So that's what our week is. And now let me go ahead and explain kind of what my thinking is for the first week. Now, I'm going to go ahead and give a little bit of heads up. Our district voted and they decided that we're going to have a minimum and a maximum of hours that we have to be with them live. I teach in California, and Governor Newsom came out with something saying that teachers need to meet with their students live daily. And so we have to give a minimum of 240 instructional minutes. Instructional minutes could be considered like live synchronized meetings. It could be pre-recorded things. It can be independent work, and it could be small groups. Okay, so that's 240 minutes a day. For live time, for fifth grade at least, I know primary is different, and then high school and our middle school is different too, but for upper grades, so fourth and fifth, our meet time is a minimum of 90 minutes. Now, I'm going to give you a heads up that PE and music is already 30 minutes, and they're including that in that time. So think of it more as a minimum amount of time for me is going to be 60 minutes, so an hour. A maximum amount of time is going to be 150 minutes. So subtract that from 30 and you get 120. To me, that actually doesn't seem like a lot. Like, especially during the first week, I was trying to map out my minutes and my time, and I was kind of struggling with one day because I keep thinking about, okay, the first couple weeks, you really want to try and get to know them. No, we're not going to meet that long every single day, but I was kind of struggling with that. So let's go ahead and get started. So on Monday, I usually have this. So in my classroom, when we do back to school, I typically do a slideshow so the kids can get to know me. So I am going to still do that because I think it's still important for the kids to get to know their teacher. And I make this fun. I include fun facts about myself, right? So my husband played for the Orioles. I was a dancer for 10 years. I attended the elementary school that they're attending. And in those fun facts, I include like silly little pictures of myself. So for the dancing one, for example, they get to see me in all my silly costumes that I had to wear. I show a picture of my dog just so they can kind of get to know me as a person. And then we kind of go into my expectations. And then I think during that Zoom meeting, we're going to discuss together as a class what we think our rules should be. I think it's really, really important for you to create the rules, your class rules with your class. And of course, this year, especially if you guys are doing distance learning like me, is going to be so different. And so I thought it was really great to kind of open up with the discussion with what do we think are going to be some important rules during our virtual learning. And of course, I have some in the back of my head if they need help. But we're just going to go ahead and discuss those together. So I'm going to do that for, I'm planning for 40 minutes, and that seems like a lot, but when I did fifth grade in March, I would plan for a 40-minute lesson, and we would just go for an hour because my kids just missed each other, I think, and at the end, I would just kind of let them chat and catch up. So 40 minutes seems like a lot. It's not going to be just because I'm breaking it up with me speaking, class discussions, and then I was going to break kind of a little game in between to kind of get them up and moving. So after that, from 8:40 to 9:25, I'm going to assign some independent work. On my Teachers Pay Teachers, I have a cute little All About Me freebie that you can download that I'm going to have the kids input pictures and just tell me about themselves and just a fun little independent activity to kind of get to know the tools that we're going to be using. They're going to be navigating Canvas. And I usually am there in the classroom to teach them Google Slides. So in a sense, I keep telling myself, Haley, they're going to be relearning Google tools too if they haven't used them in their previous classes already. So with this activity, I feel like it was an easy start to learn how to use Google Slides and kind of play around with our Canvas website for the first time. I'm also going to assign a Canvas scavenger hunt where they're going to have to go look around the website and find things and respond on a Google Slide. Then we're going to have our brain break. And I was going to plan to obviously allow them to use the restroom and grab a snack. And this is probably the time that I was going to put a read aloud of me reading a book for the first day of school. I keep going back between if I want to do Cool Beans, the Cool Beans, or You're Finally Here. You're Finally Here was a book that my mom used to read her class all the time. And so I keep kind of wanting to, I guess, do her some justice and read that cute little book. Because if you haven't read, You're Finally Here is a really cute book too. And so maybe I'll do both. We'll see. So that's what we're going to do for our brain break, as well as kind of like a little go noodle together. Then, so I do houses, and I'm doing the house system, and I have a blog post posted up on how I'm doing that digital, so if you're curious, you can go check that out. So then we're going to hop back on Zoom at 9:45, and I'm going to have the kids be sorted into their houses. We're going to talk about house groups and all that jazz, and they're going to meet in their house groups, choose their leader, and all that fun stuff. I'm planning on doing that with a slideshow. I sort the kids ahead of time, so randomly, but still ahead of time, and go through the slideshow, and their name pops up in there and what house they're in. So that's how I do that via Zoom. So I'll just share my screen and that happens. And then I will give them an assignment to work on independently. Then the kids will go to music. So I kind of have a little break, because that's kind of my teacher prep time, I guess you could say. And then what I'm doing with that weird little funky block after our music time is I'm having my kid, that being my writer's workshop time. So I'm going to be doing this first day feels writing. I did it every year. It's something that I created. It's just a way for me to just kind of gauge what their writing abilities are like. And they fill out this little questionnaire or brainstormer, I guess you can call it, of like how they felt today, did their feelings change, and just kind of talking about how they felt for the first day of school, how they're feeling about this school year. And if we have time, start writing on that first draft. To the first day, it's just probably typically just going to be the brainstorming and maybe getting on the first draft. And then what we're going to be doing is hopping on to our last game of the day, and I just kind of have some fun get to know you class games. I am planning on using Teaching and So Forth's back to school product. It's like this like basketball themed, and I'm obviously going to have to be tweaking it. My mind has not gotten there yet. I get a little ADD when it comes to creating things. Right now, I'm just working on digital notebooks. So I will let you know once my mind is made up about that. But for about 30 minutes, my plan is to do some get-to-know-you class games, just because I want the kids to get to know one another really well, because I still want them to have a class community and to work together as a team. And then kind of the rest of the time up until lunch, so 12:05, I have just kind of a little student survey I want them to fill out. It's just something I made on Google Forms, nothing crazy, just to kind of get to know them and their way of learning. And this year, I obviously added a couple questions about, you know, how they feel about being online and how I can help them, and just kind of more, I guess you could say, COVID questions without jumping out and screaming COVID. Just to kind of, I want to see what their brain is. I think I said, what do you think is going to be the most difficult thing this year starting off online? I'm really curious for that answer. And just, again, just questions on how they learn best. Do you work best by yourself? Do you work best in a group? Just to kind of see what their learning is. Do you work best when it's quiet? Do you like to listen to music? I think they're really helpful questions. And I will post that on my blog if you guys are interested for free. It's just something I like to ask my kids. So Tuesday is going to kind of follow more of a model of how our day will go or flow. Monday, I just really wanted to make sure I was meeting with my kids, I guess you could say, the max amount of time so I can get to know them, they can get to know me, and we can have some fun, like sorting houses and class games and that kind of stuff. So Tuesday, we will start off with a morning meeting. I'll take my attendance. We'll check in. Our school has what's called Rusty. He kind of talks about, I guess you could say, social emotional things. They're like quick little things, and then we discuss. And so I feel like they're perfect to show for morning meetings. And that's going to be via Zoom from 8 to 8:15. I'm kind of changing the time a little bit to give them a little bit of break from moving from one Zoom to the next, if that makes sense. Then what I'm going to be having them do is in our instructional block one, when I would typically be teaching math, this is where they're going to be doing some team building with their house. So this will actually be in small groups, with small groups and me. So I'm going to try and test the whole small group. I'm going to schedule the different groups at different times. Then as our brain break, so I'm going to post a Go Noodle, maybe another read aloud. And then so our block 2A is where I'm going to be doing either social studies or science. So we're going to be setting up our science notebooks via Zoom. So I'm going to be showing them exactly how to get the document, how to save it. And then we're actually going, I'm going to be showing my kids how to organize their Google Drive so that it's efficient and they know how to find their things. My brain's way of thinking is, this will be like showing them how I want their binder organized, right? I did a little bit of Avid teaching. I would do binder checks. And so to me, this seems like, okay, if I can do a Google Drive check, that's kind of like the same thing to make sure they're keeping all their things organized. So we'll be doing that. Then the kids will go to music or PE. And then we're going to be working on finishing that first draft of the first day field writing. If they're really quick writers, maybe working on the editing process. I'm probably not going to work on the editing process until Thursday, though. And then I am going to kind of show them a couple navigational things. I'm going to show them how to get onto the math website that we're going to be using and how to get onto the ELA website that I will be using for our two curriculums. So that's just kind of more navigational so they can I can share my screen with them and show them what tools and stuff they will be needing. I think that's really important for you as a teacher to go over to make sure that they're familiar. Just because you don't know what the parents already know, you don't want them to have to work on the rely on the parents. I really want to try and build independent workers to make this, I guess, as fluid as possible. And then that's it for the day. And then I'm going to assign some either unfinished work or they can work on some enrichment things, kind of introduce what those enrichment topics are after our Zoom, because I only have for like 30 minutes tops, if that. Then Wednesday is going to be our first Wellness Wednesday, so kind of sharing what that is. If I feel like I need to set up some individual meetings, I might, just to kind of touch one-on-one with them, see how they're feeling and stuff. And then if they feel like they're behind on some of the activities that I assigned on Monday and on Tuesday, those are some things that they can do, as well as the enrichment items that we had discussed on Tuesday, okay? Thursday is looking more and more kind of like our schedule, if that makes sense. So morning meeting, it's going to be the same things that we did on Tuesday, except for in our math block. Instead, we're going to be working on some digital citizenship. If you guys go to Common Sense Media and you make a teacher account, they have this whole free lessons on digital citizenship and by grade level. So it kind of gives you a backbone of what you feel like you need to be teaching your kids. So I kind of like to cover everything because there's some things that I think that are important, like their passwords and logging in, and then how we talk to one another on digital discussion boards and that kind of thing. You know, being safe, don't put your information out there. What you put on the internet stays on the internet forever. So we kind of talk about internet bullying and stuff. I mean, I teach fifth grade, so that's kind of a big hot topic. So they'll do some digital citizenship, and then I'll have some type of independent work that I'm offering. And that Zoom meeting will only probably be about 30 minutes, in case you're curious. So then brain break. And then we'll go into some science. So I'm going to be doing this What is a Scientist assignment. I got this idea from Josie Bensko, Maniacs in the Middle. I did this in real life with my students, and I love the activity so much that I wanted to try and figure out a way to bring it to the digital world. So I actually made a science notebook. We set them up on Tuesday, and they're going to be adding to it like we would be in our real classroom. And my idea is, if and when we go back to hybrid learning, I could easily just print out these pages for them, and they can glue them in their notebook so they're caught up. So what this little activity is, it's a page that they're going to be pasting into their digital notebooks, and it has a picture of, or I'm sorry, not a picture, but it's going to have two boxes, and one box is going to be what I think a scientist is, and then another box that says a scientist actually is, and then there's a spot at the bottom for them to say I was surprised about. So what I'm going to be doing is, it's called Jamboard. It's a Google app, and it allows a kind of a collaborative board. It almost looks like a little whiteboard. Students can put sticky notes on it, and so we're going to kind of start off this lesson by doing the collaborative Jamboard and kind of talk about, and I'm going to have them post their sticky notes on the board about the first thing they think of when they think of a scientist. And so typically kids put like mad, crazy. I'm going to let them embed pictures. So usually it's kind of some type of like crazy looking old dude. Okay. After we've kind of discussed and talked about all the things that they kind of came up with, I'm then going to have them go into their notebook and include a picture in that box of what they think a scientist looks like. I then like to read aloud the book Ada Twist Scientist, and we kind of talk about what a scientist is, and the kids actually find out that a scientist could be anybody. And so in the second box, they include a picture of themselves. I'm going to have them take a selfie and show them how to do that on Google Slides and put it into the box that says a scientist actually is. And then I'm going to have them fill out that last box that said what they were surprised about. So that's kind of something fun. So that's what I'm doing for science to kind of really start off our first science lesson. Then we're going to go ahead and talk about my editing process. I have made a little Google checklist, so to speak, that they'll be checking, and I'm going to be showing them how to change their first draft to a final draft. And what I'm going to do is, so what I did was I copied the final draft page, I guess you could say, twice. One that they're going to be typing their first draft on, and I labeled it first draft. And the second one is where they're going to paste their first draft. And I told them, do not make any changes on your first draft, because the idea is I want to be able to see what changes you made from your first writing to your new writing. So you'll paste your first draft exactly as soon as you're finished, onto the second page, and then you will start your editing process. So that's something so that I could literally just scroll up and see, oh, they didn't change a single thing. So they didn't listen to the editing process, or they didn't, you know, do anything. Once those are, you know, we're just kind of be talking about the editing process. They can get started on that final draft if they want to. And then Friday is just going to be where they finish that final draft. And this first day of fields writing, you guys, is typically like only 1 to 2 paragraphs. And like I said, it's a really good gauge to see what my kids' writing abilities are, because I'm not even joking when I say some kids will write like a couple sentences. It makes me a little worried. And then I have those kids, you can see like right off the bat, they're really great writing skills. So I think it's a really good first pre-assessment of writing. So after that, I haven't done this lesson yet. I'm still in the process of figuring out how I'm going to make it work. But I love to do, so this is something that I do in our real life classroom, I guess you can call it, is I like to talk about the history lens. And so what that means is the different lens that they look through in history. So we're going to be talking about what a historian's going to look through, what an economist is going to look at, what a geographer is going to look at. And so we kind of talk about throughout the year what type of lens we're looking through when we're talking about history, right? So a geographer is going to be looking at like maps and stuff. So we'll talk more about kind of, okay, looking at this map, what does this map mean? If I was looking at the geography, what why do you think the people decided to live right here? So I think it's a good intro into history and kind of teaching them to look at history with different lens. And so I just kind of have them talk about the four different ways to look at history. And so that's going to be just a couple minutes, and then there's going to be a discussion and then a quick little independent assignment for them. Friday is going to be kind of more of, I guess you could say, our wrap-up day. We're going to have our first house meeting. I put on my Teachers Pay Teachers digital house activities that you can download. And so we're going to be doing one of those. And then I'm going to go over the second part of our digital citizenship, and they're going to have a little bit of independent work. We'll go into our brain break. Then we're going to work on setting up our ELA notebook, and math notebook, because those ones are going to be pretty simple. They're just changing the title, and they get to choose their covers for that one. Like I said, and then the rest of the day is no Zoom meetings, so they're going to be working on their final draft and all that jazz. And then really the last chunk of our instructional block is going to be their unfinished work. So what did you not get done? Probably it's going to be the history lens, maybe what is a scientist, and more time for their writing if they need it. Now, mind you, after lunch, I do have office hours. And so if kids want to meet and have me read their final drafts or discuss their final drafts, we're going to be doing that. But I don't want them to necessarily meet with me, because the following week I'm going to be practicing with is peer reviews. On Canvas, there is a button that you can click on for peer reviews, and so they are going to be able to actually review each other's writing. And so we're going to be kind of playing around with that and kind of, again, working on that editing process again, but on somebody else's. And then after they peer edited two different people's writings, that's when it comes to me, and that's when they'll get their quote-unquote grade. For the first one, I don't really typically give them a grade. It's kind of more of a credit, no credit. Like I said, for me, it's more of the assessment factor. Who do I know is really strong in writing, and who is those ones that I'm going to need to target? So that's the plan. For the first week, as we kind of go through the weeks, it's going to go kind of more and more into what the instructional blocks are going to be. So kids will know, okay, first thing in the morning, we're going to have a class meeting, and then we're going to do math. Then we'll have a brain break. Then we'll do science or history, depending on what day of the week it is. They'll go to music, come back, writers, workshop, ELA, we're done with the day. And so that will kind of more fold into the format that we do the following week. I've read kind of countless articles, and I think for the first 2 weeks, we're really not going to do much instruction. I want to work really hard on classroom community. So if when we're on Zoom, it's always going to be discussions and getting to know one another, introduced maybe with a fun game for them to do first. I think it's really important that your kids feel comfortable with one another and feel comfortable with you. This is something that's so new for everybody, and I think it's going to be hard, especially maybe for those shy students, and it's going to take us a little longer to get to know their little personalities rather than if we were doing it face-to-face. And also, you guys got to think about it too, the more, you know, online activity we're doing, so our Zoom meetings, you know, they're going to be doing the expectations and getting better at it. So coming on and muting right away and, you know, raising their hand and learning kind of all the Zoom tools. So I think of more of the first 2 weeks as like the training, and just the little assignments that we do are to make it fun, but to kind of, you know, get them trained on those tools as it is. I highly recommend what I've been doing with many, and if not all, my assignments lately. I've been putting some type of video if they get stuck. Like on our very first All About Me, I put a video on common areas that my kids get stuck on in the past. So if they didn't know how to input an image, I showed them how to do an image on a screen share that I recorded on Loom. How to put a text box in if they accidentally deleted the text boxes that I had pre-put in for them. how to take a picture of themselves if they wanted to include a picture of themselves on their All About Me. I also kind of showed them what to do if they accidentally deleted a slide or deleted the background. I've had kids delete the backgrounds of things before, which if you're familiar with Google Slides, if you make anything for the kids, like format-wise, it's typically the backgrounds. If they delete the background, there's no more instruction on there. So I kind of go back and show them, okay, you have to click on version history and do that kind of thing. I show them how to change the font size and color if they wanted to add a little pizzazz to their All About Me. And so I have all of that on a little link that they can click on that assignment that says need help? And they click on it and they can watch it. I have been making little gifts, so to speak, I guess you can say, of a quick instruction. So for our science notebooks, I only put like 2 pages per subject underneath. And so I have a little gif of me showing how I duplicate a slide. So it's just like a repeater of me going to a slide, right-clicking and clicking duplicate, so that they can see, oh, and it's a good reminder of how to do something. So I guess I'm just trying to be as visual as possible and kind of trying to use my tech skills to help them be little independent thinkers. Again, I don't want them to have to rely on mom or dad, because let's be real, if parents are working from home, or if parents are at home, they're probably working too. I'm really trying to make this as stress-free as possible, because I know there is pushback from parents that are working that really do want their kids in school, and I get it. So if there's any way that I can help with that a little bit by making them independent, I'm going to try. We're trying. So that's kind of my thought process. If you're curious about the article that I read, it was The Cult of Pedagogy, I think 9 ways distance learning should be different than face-to-face. And that kind of gave me a head start of where I wanted to start. In the article, she kind of talks about how you really need to get to know your class and your community, how you need to be working on those social and emotional needs. Like every morning, my kids are going to log on and do a check-in so I can see how they're feeling, if there's anything I can do to help, just because I'm not going to be in the classroom to see their faces, right? I'm pretty good at reading kids, and, oh, Abigail looks like she's not having a good day, and I would typically pull her outside and talk to her. And so, to me, that's kind of what I'm struggling with as a teacher, is not being able to be in the room with them to see how they're feeling, how they're doing. Like, that's the piece that's missing. And then, of course, I've been working extra hard because I'm going to try to make having a newborn and teaching distance learning work. And my plan is to hopefully save my maternity leave for when and if we go back to distance learning. I just think with the schedule that our school has put out, it's definitely doable. My husband's schedule is very flexible. He's a home health physical therapist, so he can easily mark his hours around when I'd be live teaching. Like I said, for the most part, I'm done with live teaching by 12, and we don't even do live teaching on Wednesdays. So in my head, I'm like, I think it's definitely doable. It could work if he does his work in the afternoon and on Wednesdays, and maybe one day of the weekend. And so that's my plan. Because I think it's going to be the best for our family, and I know it's going to be hard, so that's why if you see me on Instagram, you think this lady never rests, I have something pushing me to not rest, because I don't want to be doing all the creating and the thinking of what lessons I'm going to be teaching when I have a newborn, because that's going to be taking all my energy, and I just want it to all be done and ready to go, so I don't have to do that kind of stuff, if that makes sense. Now, on that article, she also kind of talked about making sure you're teaching slower. So typically, this is my plan, my brain, I'm just sharing my thought process with you guys, and a day in the life of my brain is probably crazy. Like, you should see my computer screen when I'm trying to think of things. I have like 5 different things I'm doing at the same time, because I'll get an idea and I'm like, ooh, and so I'll start opening it and working on it just so I don't forget it. So that's my brain, if you were ever curious on how it works. So the article said you need to make sure to teach subjects slower. So typically in our classroom, I would teach a new math lesson every day. And so my idea is that on Mondays, they'll get a brand new lesson out of the book. I'm going to be going over it over Zoom and having them hopefully follow along in their student activity books. Talking to our district, it seems like the kids are going to be able to pick up their books and items. And I'm hoping I can include a couple little things. I love getting my kids a little first day of school gift, and I usually typically just do a keychain with their house on it. So I hope that I can still do that. And so I'm hoping they can still get the writing practice, and I'm going to probably get them all a composition book for them to work on, some journaling and quick writes so that they're still getting the practice with writing on paper instead of just all on the computer. So first day Monday will be a new math lesson. They'll do some independent work so I can make sure that they understood it. And then Tuesday, instead of teaching another new lesson, my thought is to give them like a review almost. So more practice of what we had learned on Monday, unless it's a very, very easy lesson. Just because I feel like it gives them another chance to practice the material. That's typically the day that I will probably meet with small groups. So first day will be whole group instruction. And then Tuesday will be review, meeting in small groups at specific times. So I'll have different time slots for my different groups. I'm going to be giving some type of math assessment so I can kind of gauge to see where my kids are for those first couple weeks, which ones are my highs, which ones are my lows, so I can group them together and meet with them that way and give them help almost. So the Tuesday would kind of almost be when we work on maybe the homework page together. I'm not going to assign homework. Our district is very against you should not be assigning homework. I mean, these kids are going to be online pretty much for half of the day. They do not need to be spending the other half of the day doing homework. So that's kind of how I'm going to make use of our curriculum, is using those, maybe those homework pages for those review days. So basically, instead of four lessons a week, I'm now only going to be teaching two lessons a week with two review days. So that's how I'm thinking I'm teaching math. To me, I think it makes the most sense. It's going to be very slow but powerful. And then as a district, we're actually trying to pick out which are considered our quote-unquote power standards. So which are the standards that we feel we need to teach that are important for the next grade level, and maybe which are some lessons we can leave behind. And let's face it, we all know our curriculum pretty well. We know which lessons are probably going to be the ones that you wish you could skip anyways. I actually do skip quite a few lessons in our book just because I feel like it either confuses the kids or it's just not relevant. So that's kind of what we're going through. Every other day, we'll be either working on science or history to kind of break it up. We're using mystery science, so I'm going to be using Generation Genius because my kids last year loved it. And so if I can make science fun still, I'm planning on doing the Generation Genius. We had Generation Genius Thursdays, and so the kids would watch the video, and then we're going to play a fun live Kahoot afterwards. And then Fridays typically would be our assessment day. They're just going to take a quick quiz so I can see what they remembered from our lesson. History, I haven't really gotten that far yet. I'm going to go ahead and say it. I'm not a huge fan of the curriculum that we newly adopted. To me, it seems really flat and boring, and I worked really hard making history fun. I actually got the opportunity to go to Williamsburg, Virginia, with a big teacher institute, and they kind of taught us how to make history come alive. And so to me, I'm trying to balance that thought process with the new curriculum that I'm not a fan of. So trying to see what that would look like online. ELA, we use Wonders, so I tried it in March, wasn't a fan, so I'm definitely redeveloping some things. I love Newzella, so I'll probably integrate a little bit of Newzella or ReadWorks. They had good articles on there, so it's going to be kind of a mush of Wonders and those two resources. And then I'm really excited about my writer's workshop. That's kind of that weird, funky 20 20-ish minutes after our music period. I was struggling on what the heck I would teach them for 20 minutes before we went into our next one. And to me, a writer's workshop works perfectly. Sometimes I feel like I'm going to be assigning work or quick writes. And then there's going to be some weeks when I'm going to give them free rein. I like to build strong readers, and in the first kind of chunk, I like to teach them what a good paragraph is. I think sometimes in school, we teach our kids so quickly to write multi-paragraphs, right? In second grade and in third grade, sometimes they're asked to write multi-paragraphs, you guys, in second grade. And I think that's way too fast, because sometimes kids come to me by the time they get to fifth grade, and they still don't know how to write one good, strong paragraph. So I do teach what a good strong paragraph where it looks like, and so we work on that for a couple weeks, then we will build up to two, and then we build up to three, and then finally kind of what that five paragraph model is, because once you have three good strong paragraphs, the intro and the conclusion aren't really that much to add on to get that five paragraph model. And so that's just kind of my thoughts. I will be sharing more with our distance learning journey, but I really recommend you take a look at that article or that podcast, because she has a podcast on the same thing. She always makes a podcast and a blog post about the same things. So whatever you fancy, if you'd rather listen or you'd rather read, a good read made it kind of curved my anxieties a little bit, because I was freaking out. How am I going to teach all these kids online? How am I going to get to know them? And it helped dramatically, because it kind of talked about, okay, you need to make sure you're working on social and emotional needs. You need to make sure you're growing your classroom community. You need to make sure you're teaching at a slower pace, because they're learning online. It's a way different than learning in person. And so those kind of nine things really helped me. And so I highly suggest it. And I know. Some of you guys, I've been getting DMs of you saying, like, our school still hasn't given us information. They still don't know what to do, and we start in a week. And I'm feeling for you. I'm so sorry. I guess, if anything, it paints a picture. I feel very lucky to be in the position that I am. We start the 24th. We have a schedule and a plan to follow. I now have access to our Canvas, so I've been playing around with that and adding that. And so just know that it does get better when your school does finally give a plan. It kind of, like, I think when they gave us our plan, I kind of feel like I exhaled for the first time in a long time. Like, okay, maybe I'm not a fan of it, but I have somewhere to start. And so that's kind of where you have to think of it as. For those of you guys that are doing hybrid learning, again, I'm feeling for you. For those of you that are going back to school, I am especially feeling for you. It's going to be a scary time and a hard time. And I guess my one word of advice is just to really make sure, no matter where you are, that you guys have that support system. Like, I have my upper grade team. We have a group text. We text in it all the time. And, you know, sometimes it's just nice to complain a little, and then kind of, okay, like, together we kind of came up with our schedule, like, hey, oh my gosh, in week for our meetings we can use Rusty or those brain bricks, read alouds, duh. And so it was just kind of nice to, like, collaborate and just share our ideas, and we kind of almost kind of came up with our schedule together. And so make sure you have your people, your support system. You're going to need that more than ever. I keep seeing this Instagram post go around, and it's so true. We are all first-year teachers this year. This is all something that is so new for everybody. It's like we're going back to that first year of teaching, where you feel like you know nothing. You feel like you're moving on this treadmill that's not going anywhere, but you're constantly running. And again, think smarter, not harder. You do not need to create all these things on your own. If you go on Instagram, there are so many free tools. I know I'm offering myself a lot of free things, just because I know how you're feeling. And what's really amazing is I've been seeing a lot on there as well. So just make sure you're kind of looking around. I think if we all kind of stick in this together, we can get through it. And creativity happens when you're put in a stressful situation and you're working together. And so with that, I say it's okay to have your hissy fit, I guess, so to speak, but then, you know, change that mindset and get working, because yes, I had my moment of panic, my moment of complaining. It's almost like the stages of grief, right? I was mad, I was sad, I was upset, and now I've come to terms with it. And so it's okay to go through those stages, but then by the time it is time for us to go back to school, make sure that mindset is right, because at the end of the day, we want to make our students feel comfortable, we want to make our students feel loved, and that comes first over everything. And so I just wanted to say thank you, guys, and I know this is not on a typical Tuesday. I'm releasing it this lovely Wednesday. So if you are listening to this on a Wednesday, I hope you're having a fantastic Wednesday. And if you're listening to this any other day of the week, I hope you're having a fantastic week in general. Please do not hesitate to reach out to me via email. You can email me at hellomrs.harwick@gmail.com. I try really hard to answer questions as quickly as I can. If I've not responded to you right away, it's because I'm thinking about my answer. You can also message me, you can message me on my Instagram, Hello Mrs. Harwick. You can also go to my blog and contact me through that. I have a little contact sheet to fill out. And then please make sure you guys review and rate this podcast. It's what motivates me. I love seeing that you guys are listening in your stories. I love, when you guys message me, just listen to your podcast, and I love it. It makes me want to keep going, because when I first made this little podcast, I was like, you know what, this is just going to be for fun, and it's really kind of grown into a fantastic little space for me to share thoughts, and just give advice for those that are struggling, because I think teachers know more than anybody. We all go through it, and it's just the name of the game, I guess. And it's really unfortunate what position we're being put in right now, and just know that I hear ya, I feel ya, I'm here for you. And even if you just need someone to complain to, you can go ahead and DM me, I don't care. Venting is really good for your soul, in my opinion. So with that, I say goodbye.
So I guess this is it till next time. Yes, don't forget to check out the show notes for any of the links that I discussed in today's episode. If you enjoyed today so far, please share it with a friend, because the more, the merrier. Thanks for tuning in, and I can't wait to see you guys next time.